This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory, glory to you, my Father. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for learning. Thank you because you have received honor. You receive glory, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. For he has pleased the Father to crown you with glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the Lord of hosts, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, Emmanuel. Thank you, Jesus, for your ministry. Thank you for your ministry and your ministration that is coming from your face. Thank you for the light of your face. Thank you, Jesus, for that which is coming from your face. Glory to you, Son of God. Hallelujah to you, Jesus. Oh, our heart is lifting you up. Our heart is lifting you up. We give you your praise. Thank you, Father. Lord, I repent that you will cleanse us again. Cleanse us again, Jesus. Show us great mercy, our Father. Purge us, Jesus, of that which defy. Strengthen us by that which you give. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Honor the Son of God. Glory to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we are praying. If you have been following closely for midweek service, the burden in my heart, although I call it the revelation of Jesus Christ, but particularly, it has been talking about the acknowledging the Son so that you can acknowledge the Father. Which is 1 John 2, from verse 20 downward, which I was referring there to also book of Luke chapter 10. There are no man who the Father is and who the Son is, except whom the Father will reveal and who the Son will reveal the Father to. And why I've been laboring particularly in that is for one thing. I perceive that there is need for a critical number of us to find entrance into the most holy, or to find entrance into the first cut of everlasting life. Because everlasting life have cuts. And the cut of everlasting life is not another person, but the Father. The Father is everlasting cuts. So there are everlasting cuts in the Father. Because the Father is everlasting cuts. Or the true tabernacle. But in Psalm 84, he called the Lord of hosts, he called it tabernacles. It's not one. In the most holy are tabernacles. Amiebu aidai tabernacles. O Lord of hosts. So, the Lord of hosts have tabernacle, and that tabernacle is not outside him. He's the one. So when I say who the Father is, the Father his everlasting tabernacle, or what Hebrew it called true tabernacle. But that true tabernacle are tabernacles. So when you begin to see Psalm 84, he said something about the tabernacles. He called that tabernacle, he called it the courts of the Lord. The tabernacle are courts. They are not outer courts. They are most holy courts. The Father is the tabernacle. But in that tabernacle are tabernacles or a court, which agree with John chapter 14. In my Father's house. So my Father's house is not a physical building. Because if Hebrew 2 say, whose house are we? So you are house, or we are all house. So how much more the Father is an everlasting or true tabernacle with tabernacles or with mansions. Those mansions are courts. So in that Psalm 84, I am able, I thy tabernacles. I mean your house. And that house is the who the Father is. So there are tabernacles. Tabernacles which are also courts. And it agrees with John 14. It also agrees with Psalm 24. That's Psalm 24. He used the word everlasting doors and gates. So it's everlasting. That's what I call it, everlasting court. So in everlasting, there are different doors. Each door and each gate keep each court of everlasting. Or like John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. So each mansion is a court, and each court has its door, and there's a gate to every door. So you agree based on that Psalm 24 that there say everlasting doors. So it means that in everlasting, there are different mansions which are different courts. So they are all everlasting. And for months, of the beginning of the year, I've been dancing around newborn bay. It's because I sense heavily that there is something that the Lord is trying to emphasize. That a people must appear. That's it. When you read that Psalm 84. A people must appear before God. That God there is to appear in the court of the everlasting court. The first court. They want a people to appear. He said they go from strength to strength. Everyone that appear before God. Before God in Zion. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion. I mean, they are in Zion. If you're not in Zion, you don't go from strength to strength. What's the strength to strength? They move from law to law. Say they move from law to law. That strength is law. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The sting of death is sin. So you can see that there is great desire that God wants a people to appear before him. And we are God the Father, and the Word of God. Say the Word of God. Which is the realm of the everlasting. Cannot be possible. You don't enter to the Word of God. That word, another for the Word of God, the tabernacle of God, is called the Word and Realm of Presence. That's another word for, if you hear the word true tabernacle, it's also your realm of the presence or the realm of glory. It's a Word and Realm of Glory. It's a Word, Realm of Glory, Domain of Glory. You can't enter there without being received. So, months I felt it that if you see Jesus, what is one thing that out of Jesus is that he wants to receive many people into that world. He wants people to come into the courts of God, courts of the Lord. But you can't ascend to that court without strength. is that they go, say they go,
from strength
to strength. Before this place, what you to move? You to move on from faith to faith in Christ. You go from faith to faith until you come into faith that worketh by love, which is unfeigned love of the brethren, who is the end of the commandment of the doctrine of godliness. So if you move from faith to faith, unto faith that worketh by love, which is the end of the commandment of the doctrine of godliness. What's the doctrine of godliness? That's the doctrine of Christ. It's the doctrine of godliness. They wrote it. You point to the doctrine of godliness. 1 Timothy 6:3. Want to go, everybody? And consent not to wholesome world, even the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So the doctrine of godliness is the doctrine or the teaching of righteousness of faith to faith. So faith to faith is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now I say that strength to strength is a law. So faith to faith is the law of godliness. You move from one law of godliness to another law of godliness, or the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Or what Romans 13 call it, fulfilling the law of Christ. In Romans 13. Fulfilling the law of Christ. Oh, no man anything but to love one another. For he that hath loved another fulfill the law. Love, what cannot he? Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So this law is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Or what's another way I use that law? Is the law of the doctrine of godliness. Or I call it the law of the commandment of Christ. So we are talking about faith to faith. Yeah? For daring is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. They are saying here, yeah? For daring is the righteousness of God revealed from the law of Christ to the law of Christ, from faith. I mean, they gradually unveil that law. That law, according to that 1 Timothy chapter 1, is the righteousness that are revealing. Faith is righteousness. Hope is righteousness. Charity is righteousness. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 4, it says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogy. Want to go, everybody? Which administer question rather than godliness edifying, or godly edification, which what? Which is in faith. So do. Say in faith.
In faith.
What are they saying here? They say there is something that is in faith. What is in faith? Righteousness. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. For instance, the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. So faith of Jesus has something inside of it. It's righteousness. What is righteousness? Law. What is righteousness?
Law.
Another place. Paul also called righteousness. We call it sometimes when you hear Paul or Jesus or prophet call righteousness. They call it the law of truth. That's righteousness I'm talking about here. So another word for reveal righteousness is the law of truth. When you read this Malachi, where the law of truth, for you walk with me in peace and equity, in righteousness and truth. So the law of righteousness, another word for it is called the law of truth. It's the law of truth. And that law of truth is in the faith that is after godliness. Titus. Paul, want to go, everybody?
Paul is the
son of God. According. And the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life with God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So another word for the law of truth is the righteousness that is the faith. I mean, when you begin to open faith to faith, you need to open law to law. So faith to faith is law to law. The law of righteousness. Which is also the law of righteousness, or the law of godliness, or the law of righteousness unto godliness. So faith is the law of righteousness, or righteousness is the law you extract from faith to live a godly life. You extract righteousness from faith. Because before the faith was given, they have righteousness of the law. Before righteousness of faith was revealed, which came by Lord Jesus Christ, what was upon the earth was righteousness of the law. You extract righteousness out of the law, that they that do them shall be justified. That was the argument of Paul in Romans 2, Romans 3, and Romans 4. That was the argument. And that's also his argument in Galatians. That is a righteousness that is in the law. And that there are Gentiles that don't have law, like law of Moses, but they have another law in their hearts. When they live by that law of their heart, they are approved and accepted by God. Whether the Jew have a righteousness as revealed by the law, that righteousness is a law that they live by. Likewise, when Jesus came to utter faith, he came to utter faith. He is uttering the law or the archive. Faith is the archive of the law of the New Testament. That's why I say we live by faith. What does it mean? We live by faith, man. We are obeying the law that proceeds out of faith. Or we live by the commandment that proceeds where? Out of faith. Faith supposed to be churning out law for you. Faith supposed to be churning out what? Churning out law. Faith supposed to be churning out commandment for you. It's not saying that now I live by faith, so I don't have law. No, you have law, but the law is going to be coming out from faith. Or commandment will be proceeding out of faith. That's the essence of that 1 Timothy chapter 1. Then that gives it to fables and ended or genealogy, which minister question rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith. So do. So what is the faith? Now say, full stop. What is the faith? Now, the end of the commandment that's coming from faith is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith on fame. So the way they arrange this thing, you start with faith on fame. Then you move into a good conscience, into the end of the word commandment, which is charity. In that Psalm 84, just as there's faith to faith, so that you can fulfill the law of righteousness of faith, or you can fulfill the law of righteousness that deliver or make godliness. What is godliness? To be God governed. But what is governing you? The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So you are governed by, is God governed? But God does not govern you directly, because you can't be subject to God. For a carnally minded man is not subject to the law of God, or is not subject to move from strength to strength. So what God does to a carnally minded man is to roll out the law of righteousness of faith. So law of righteousness of faith is the law of truth that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17, or particularly verse 20 and 21. Or 1 Timothy, that law is godly edification or godly edifying, which is in the faith. So do. That means you should be doing that thing that is in the faith that will lead to godly edifying. So do. That's what you should purify yourself. That's what you should be doing. And so that thing you are doing is the law of the spirit of life. That's godly. So a godly man, God does not govern you directly. God govern you. God govern you by the law of the spirit of life. It's the spirit of life in Christ. Say, go and govern this man. It is when that law has governed you unto the end of that commandment, which is charity out of a pure heart. No, I also say, the law of righteousness is also called another thing. I said the law of truth. And I don't call it the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So what do I say is called the law of truth? 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 22. Seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the truth. That was called the truth there. You have obeyed the law of truth that's in Christ.
I have obeyed the commandment of the doctrine of godliness. Obeying the truth through the Spirit. Or you can say you have obeyed, you have purified your soul in obeying the law of the Spirit of truth. Unto what? Unfailing love of the brethren. So that's what you say. That man is godliness. Is godly. Or is God govern? But how does God govern him? God govern him. Not directly. God does not govern him by his own law. God governs such a soul with the law of truth through the Spirit. Or God governing with the law, what? With the law of righteousness of faith. So that of faith, we keep governing you, we keep governing you, we keep governing you, we keep leading you, we keep guiding you until you see that your soul has been purified and your soul now attained what? Unfailing love of the brethren, which is Galatians. Which Galatians, for this the faith that worketh by love. When your soul is like that, we say this soul is pure. When your soul is being purified, you are becoming Zion. Or they will say you have come to Zion. You are not Zion. You are Zionic. I am living by the law of life in Christ Jesus. Or I'm being governed by the law of truth that is in Christ Jesus. Or I'm being governed by the commandments of the doctrine of godliness. Because it's a godly soul. So godliness means that you are God governed. There's a commandment from that thing. There's a law from that wall that governs you. It is when you are there that Psalm 84 says, those who are in Zion, they go from strength to strength. They have gone from faith to faith. Yes, so they do faith to faith and became Zion. Because as you journey from faith to faith, you cannot be Zion in your soul. What's Zion? Zion is a godly soul. Or Zion are every soul that is governed by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That will make you to be a Zion. If you are not governed by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and when the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will govern you, it will make you free from law, sin, and death. Because they change your former law that's governing you and install another law into your soul. That same law is what Galatians call the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Or he called it to be spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. What is peace? Peace with God. God is now saying that what could not make me to govern you directly? I've been taken away. You cannot come under my law directly now. But God don't just take you under his law directly. When you are ready, Zionic, or you are godly, God does not just bring you under his law. There is a work that the Son of God must do. Because they don't just take you and carry you to the court of the Lord. Because in the court of the Lord is his law. So the Son of God, the messenger of the sanctuary, or the living God must come to you. For the purpose of adoption, you must be adopted. You must be adopted. They don't just carry you to everlasting, they don't just carry you to everlasting door to enter to everlasting court or to carry to what they call the tabernacle of the Lord of hosts. I am able, I thy tabernacles. Oh Lord of hosts, because that tabernacle is the Father, is God. Tabernacle is there, it's not a building. The tabernacle that you are entering to is a person. Because immediately you enter to the most holy. Most holy or holiest of all is not a place. It's a person. That is what Psalm 90 was talking about. Lord, that have been our dwelling place in all generations. The generation here is not talking about your father, father. No. Generation there means where God births. Generate. In all generations, before creation, before the mountain we are brought forth, or heaven that has formed the earth, before God formed the earth, God, the Lord is a dwelling place. Everlasting dwelling place. Everlasting habitation. Before the mountain we are brought forth, or ever that has formed the earth, and the world, from everlasting to the everlasting. So it's sure that in everlasting, there are different everlasting courts.
Yes,
and that's this everlasting court is the dwelling place. Lord is that dwelling place. It's the Lord. Lord, that have been our dwelling place before the mountain we are brought for, before the E was brought for. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord has everlasting in the everlasting, everlasting of the everlasting. It's not just one. Which agree with that John 14, as I said. In my Father's house. My Father's house is not a building. My Father's house is who the Lord is, the Father. God lives inside himself. John chapter 14. Philip came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. After Joker said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one come to the Father except by me. Philip said, okay, sure, the Father. He survives for us. And Joker, have I been so a long time with you? And you ask me, I should show the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. For the word and the work I do is the Father that dwelleth in me, that do the work. So it's so that Joker became the dwelling place or everlasting dwelling of the Father. And not only that Joker became everlasting dwelling place of the Father, then the Father became everlasting dwelling place where Joker is dwelling. So Joker is dwelling in the Father. The Father is dwelling in Jesus. Joker became who the Father is. A journey, he moved from strength to strength and became tabernacle of the Most High. Wow. On earth, before he left the earth, Joker became it. So, nobody can arrive in the holiest of all. That means that he's holiest, but there are, it's all. So, he's the holiest of all. The holiest of all. That means in the holiest, there are different unto all. So the holiest of all is what they call true tabernacle. But in that true tabernacle, I said there are everlasting to everlasting or everlasting God. So Psalm 84, call it, it started, Amiable I thy tabernacles. O Lord of hosts, my soul longeth. This is what your soul should be looking for. But your soul can't long for this tabernacle if you are not yet in Zion. There must be a longing if you are going to receive strength. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth. It's just a longing until it starts fainting. My soul longeth. What is longing? It's longing for the tabernacles, which is the dwellings of the Lord of hosts. But the Lord of hosts, who is the Son of God, who is also the living God, will come out of this tabernacle into the sanctuary. Malachi 3. You will see the Lord of hosts. Malachi 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek shall surely come unto his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come. See the Lord of hosts. So the Lord of hosts will leave the tabernacles that are amiable and come into his sanctuary, or he will come into his temple. One is called tabernacles. And one is called what? His temple. So, God has his tabernacle. But he also has his temple. His temple is where he carry out worship. Or, his temple is where he come to do more work on everyone that are in Zion. So that he can receive them into his tabernacle. Because you don't bring anything to your tabernacle. You don't just bring any kind of thing to your tabernacle. So he will come into his temple. You'll find the same thing in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. The last three verses of Ephesians 2. And I've been upon the foundations of apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ. The Joker is there, is the Lord. Himself be the chief cornerstones. in whom all the building fitting frame together grow up into an holy temple. There's an holy temple. That holy temple is the sanctuary in the Lord. In whom ye also are built up together for an habitation of God. So that habitation of God is the tabernacles. But before tabernacle, habitation is there for a temple. So he has his temple and his tabernacle. His tabernacle. Thy tabernacle. That tabernacle is where God dwells. God does not dwell in his temple. But God come into his temple. The Lord whom you see shall surely come unto his temple. He came from somewhere to his temple. He came from his tabernacle into his temple. And his temple is called Zion. So, that's godly. And that has been the entrance of the Spirit. God in his temple has for every soul that are godly. Because in his temple, your soul may not yet be godly. But you should strive to be godly by finishing, by attaining the end of the commandments, which is charity, out of a pure heart. You should journey. You should submit yourself to commandments. You submit yourself to the law of truth to purify your soul until you are pure. When you are pure, that's not the end of the journey. You're supposed to be made precious. That every pure heart, or those who have purified their soul, must be made precious by what the Lord that comes from his tabernacle appear in his holy temple to do. Because where he's coming from is the word of glory, is the word of his presence. When he comes into his temple, he ignites himself. Like that angel that led the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. When it's night time, he ignited himself and turned to a pillar of fire. But when it's in day, he became a pillar of cloud. And they will be under that cloud. Cool. That cloud become habitation, tabernacle, that they are under. But in the night, he takes that thing away and turns to a pillar of fire. But in the daytime, he will turn that fire. He will just turn himself and turn to tabernacle. Tabernacle means he will become a cloud. That cloud will envelope them. But in the night, he will become a pillar of fire. And that same one angel was one doing it. So Jesus, our Lord Jesus, when he comes out of the Father, into his holy temple, which are source of those who have attained godliness. When he comes there, he ignites himself. When you read Malachi 3, Malachi 4, he ignites himself as oven. He becomes an oven. He turns himself to oven. And what is that oven does? Oval is to bake every godly soul until they become precious. Because he will not take anything that is not precious into tabernacle. Because when you take it to the tabernacle, he wants to add you as part of furnishing for habitation of God. He wants to compact you together with everyone that are part of those cults according to your grade. Because that everlasting cult are different cults. They move you from grade to grade. And that is what is paramount in the heart of Jesus. Jesus wants to ignite himself in your soul. The message of the covenant wants to inscribe himself in your soul. But he won't ignite himself in your soul if you are not yet pure. He won't even come. Because he will only come to an holy temple. And the Lord, whom you see, will surely come into his temple. And his temple is a soul that is an holy temple in the Lord. And you cannot be a holy temple in the Lord until you have arrived at the end of the commandment of godliness, which is a doctrine of righteousness of faith that worketh by love, that we purify your soul. By purifying you become an holy temple. Your soul become a holy temple. And every soul that become holy temple, according to that Ephesians 2, every soul that's holy temple, they will build that, they will bring them together, compacted together, an holy temple in the Lord. How do we combat you? By what? By unfeigned love for one another. Formally, when you use faith, faith cleanses you. Oh, purifies you. By the time you are being made pure, essence of charity commandment is to take every soul that has been purified and lead them together, bring them together to form an holy temple. Every soul, they bring every soul together. Every soul that has been purified, what do they do today? They fit the flame together. What are they framing? It's when you are loving one another unfailingly. That's the time they are framing you. Say unfailing love. Fit the frame me together with another pure heart and pure soul. So faith and hope. Faith will clean me. Then hope will purify me. When I become pure, when I'm not doing charity, and I do charity unto unfeigned love, they're going to fitly frame mine together with the rest of everyone. Everyone that is pure, everyone that is clean, everyone that has been washed through righteousness of faith, they will peer them. Say peering. Say you remember. When in those days, we used to do peering. Eh? You can peer two phones together. When you want to transfer file, you do phone peering. Eh? You through what? You use Bluetooth to peer and you transfer file. Likewise, also, God will take souls and peer souls together because you can peer three phones together. When you peer them, you transfer file document. So when God will peer until souls are peered together, then it's in the peering together that we commandeer the love also come. When souls are not yet peered together, he will not. God wants to share a fire. And the fire that God wants to share is the messenger of the covenant. He wants to share that fire. So even when God has shared that fire in the church, if your soul have not done charity, has not been peer with other brethren, you will not receive the love whom you seek. So people that are so have been peer together, because we can be 500 in the church, but it's only 30 souls that are peer together. So it's those souls that are peer together that you call an holy temple in the Lord. For it to become an holy temple. It's when heart have been peered together and there's an holy temple in the law, that the law whom that are seeking will come suddenly into his temple. His temple is not just one heart isolated. What made up his holy temple is purified heart through the keeping of the commandment of faith. Or to the moving to the from faith to faith, they move from unfaith faith and they move into did the good conscience. Because you can't have faith and don't have good conscience. He said in that book of them, those who have put away holding faith with pure conscience in that chapter 1, which many have put away and have shipwrecked the faith. You will shipwreck the faith. If you have commandment of faith and you're being faith without good conscience, that faith will be shipwrecked. What do you mean? That faith will not arrive at its dock. What is dock? Dock means the faith is traveling. You will now arrive at the dock. Where the ship travel and arrive at the dock. The dockyard. So your faith, you have faith. You have started walking, you live by faith. But your faith, you don't take good conscience with it. Which is the program of hope. So that your faith can dock and don't collapse in the middle of the sea. Because you are navigating the world. Lost in the world. So your soul will not dock. You're supposed to dock with in hope, with good conscience, in good conscience, holding faith and a good conscience. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience and of faith on faith. That's what I say. You start with faith on faith and arrive at good conscience. It's in good, when you're in the good conscience, that's when you start appreciating hope that is in Christ. Hope that is not sin. It's in good conscience. When you are a man of a good conscience, you make excuses. You make excuses for your brother. Because you are interested in seeing hope of the gospel. You're going to make excuses. Husband will make excuses for his wife. Husband will make excuses for his wife. Wife will make excuses for her husband. Parents will make excuses for their children. Pastor will make excuses for brethren. Brother to brother will make excuses. You make excuses for your brother's shortcomings. You give reason in order to silence what Satan is telling you is wrong with your brother. Good conscience is that you are not going to line up. Line up with the enemy. So those are train of good conscience. Like when Joseph heard that Mary was pregnant and she wanted to secretly leave her, that's good conscience. Good conscience does not expose your brother. Those are train of good conscience. Train of good conscience. Good conscience will train your soul. So you start training you by good conscience. So those things are necessary for you to be to duck. You dock in hope, and then that's when your soul will find the commandment of charity, loving until you become pure. When you're a pure soul, one thing they will do as a pure soul, like a goat, the Lord will take every of those pure souls and mess them. You can take gold or you can take silver, like what he said in Book of Malachi. He said, he shall receive them. What? He will take all the silver. He become a refiner of silver and gold. So we take every soul. Because he said, when he comes to the holy place, some souls, all of them are silver. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeared? For it's like a refiner fire, like fuller soap. He shall sit as a refiner and as a purifier of silver. So can you say refiner and purifier of silver? Everybody there are all silver. Silver is redemption. I mean, souls that have gone have been redeemed to a measure. But he will not stop there. He will come and apply pressure on them. He will take all of them because he wants to make sure that though they have been purified and they have brought them together or they have paired them together, they have been pairing or they have been assembled as an holy temple for him and he has there. But he knows that there can still be leakages. When they build in abroad don't build the way we build. Because most of the time they build with already cast materials. But they also have what they call joining man. Those who do joining. They are the ones that are involved in joining. So one of the reasons why when Jesus, the minister of the covenant, comes to enter the most holy place is to see if there are still joints that are not yet fitting frame very well. Some of us, you can still do without me. And there are some people that I can do without. One of the things that the message of the covenant, the love of us, we do that. It will work upon me that I cannot do without even the least in the house. When somebody feels that I'm not loved here, so because of that, I can walk away. It's because that person has not yet received the ministry of the Lord of hosts. That's right. When we arrive at the ministry of the law of hosts, every joint is fitly framed together. Because every frame, fitly framed together, groweth up and are built together into holy habitation. You can see it's an holy temple. They now all build you together. The first one is groweth. Groweth is even building. Building, dear me, you know, you can grow and you have not been built. You can grow, but you're not being built. Many of us, we are growing, we have not been built. Building is where you have strength. Building, talk about weights. You carry weights. You lift weights. That's when you say, he's doing body building. Then he says, you are doing body growing. So in Christ, you grow into holy temple. When it's time for the Son of God to start ministering, you are being built. You are building stamina. You are building strength. That's what they move from strength to strength. They call it strength stamina. Because of the being you want to carry. You want to carry everlasting God. That was what John was teaching. When he was teaching from John chapter 15. I am the true vine. You are the branches. For every branch is me that is engrafted. They have to engraft you. And who does the engrafting? It's my Father. My Father do the engrafting. That's the commandment that I receive from my Father. That's the word that my Father worked that I walk. My Father engrafted me. As they have given me to engraft order into me. So they had to engraft you. And that's why they commanded that take all every purified soul, every soul that has been purified by faith and law, wash with faith and law, righteousness, obey, purify. They commanded used to bring you together. They call it unfeigned love of the brethren or charity. Then when they want to match you into one, when the Son of God comes, he grants himself like an oval. He will match you further. So they call that thing, see that you love one another with a pure, fervently. What is happening? They want to close every beach, every gap. Jesus, the Son of God. And talk about his ministry. What he want to do now? He want to make sure that he want to move you quickly. If you are only using faith, he want to move you quickly with to have good conscience. And from good conscience, the spirit of truth, which is taking things of Christ and teaching you, want you to do it quickly and arrive at charity. By truth, you purify your soul. Seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the spirit. What is truth there? You have obeyed faith and hope. Or you have obeyed faith while holding pure conscience into hope, which are the things that purify you. Those are the two things that used to purify you. What God used to purify is faith and hope. They are two of purification. Then, when you have been purified through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love. What unfeigned love does? Unfeigned love take everyone that has been purified. Every soul that has been purified. Every soul that has been washed. And it will pair them together. It will pair them together into one. Into an holy temple. That's what charity does. It's the sin of charity, which unfeigned love of the brethren, is the time that what? They are pairing us together. They are knitting our hearts together. When they go to Colossians 2:2, at the mysteries, so they are kind of mystery in Colossians 2:2, that their heart, these hearts are pure hearts. That their heart, being made comforted. Why do they comfort them? Because these hearts have gone through purification. And when you are purifying you, it's not easy. So they need to comfort them. So how do they comfort them? They are being comforted. Being. It's going to be a process of time. It's not money. But these art are all purified art. True faith and hope. Being knit together, we are in love. What is love? Charity. You also find the same thing also in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it. Once more, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that we grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might, by his spirit, in the inner man. Once more, everybody, that Christ, how many is Christ dwelling there? So Christ does not dwell in a single man's heart. So for Christ to dwell in the heart, through faith and love, then they prefer it. They will bring every heart together and compare them together or knit them together. That Christ may dwell in your heart. You can be here and your heart is not with them. If your heart walk out from your brethren, you are no longer part of that holy temple. You may be in the house, but your heart has walked out. Why do I say that? Because what bind that heart together? Is the law they are keeping. It's the law that they are keeping that bind them together. It's not a person that bind them together. It's not because they are eating together that bind them together. It's the law that those hearts are keeping together. That Christ may dwell in your heart. By faith. That means through faith obedience that you obey. This faith means you obey faith. By love. Through faith or by faith. Or through the process of obedience to the faith. In Genesis 11. He said, for these people are of one heart. The Lord notices it. The Lord, who you seek, will come. And the Lord came. Yeah. The Lord came. The Lord came and saw that they're doing the wrong thing. But when hearts are knitted together, compact together, the Lord comes for blessing. But these people, they are together for wrong thing. So what these people achieve, that's one of the reasons what the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of godliness, want to achieve in a positive way. What Satan wanted to achieve here. God wants to achieve it. But they thought he was wrong. He brought the Lord. He was wrong, but he brought the Lord. The same way the Son of God will come when he see us that I've been knit together, I've been compacted together, I've been fitted framed together, I've grown up together. Because such an art is that where Christ can dwell, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Not one art, art that are together. Art that true love dwell in your heart by faith that ye being rooted, just like in that Colossians 2:2, being rooted and grounded in love. So knit together is rooting and grounded together in love. I'm telling you the kind of art that brings the Son of God. So for the purpose of adoption, for the purpose of generating a newborn people that can enter the tabernacle everlasting. So he said there, being comforted together, being knitted together in love. Here in Colossians, being knitted together in love. In Ephesians 3, being rooted and grounded in love. It's when art is like that, that you can move into lesson. May be able to comprehend with all, not individually, with all. You may comprehend together with all. That will comprehend me. Comprehend is not just to understand alone. To comprehend, dear me, able to receive. Able to receive the Lord. To comprehend together, me, able to receive the Lord. The message of the covenant, I want to come in. Another of the covenant, me, able to apprehend the Lord. Or able to receive the Lord in. We're able to receive the Lord in. Because we need the Lord to come into our temple. The Lord who we have been seeking should come suddenly to our temple so that he can come and do a further work on us that we make us to become a newborn babe or adoption of children that he can take with him into the tabernacles or the court of God. But if this does not happen, we can't. If we want to remain individualistic, how do we compare together? If my heart knit together with you, if the pain of my sister does not bother me, if the reproach of my brother does not bother me, if my brother falling short does not push me to prayer, if my brother that is not walking uprightly does not push me to help him, to strengthen him, to encourage him, to be able to measure up to God's command, if it's not my concern, if I say what concerned me about him, that's why in this season of this thing, when brethren are looking to your matter, if truly you are interested to be part of that temple that can receive the Lord, you won't say, why are they reporting me to one another? That thought is alien because nobody told to comprehend together. Because that thing is against our togetherness. Because we need to be peer together. Because they want to infiltrate the Son of God into our temple. They want to share him. The Father wants to port the Son. They have been knitted together. They have been framed together. That have become an holy temple in the Lord. Because it's in when we are in that state, we may be able to comprehend. We can't comprehend. We can't apprehend. We can't receive it when we are just individual rolling stone. There's no individual rolling stone in Zion. There is no rolling stone in Zion. Even when you see the way they beam on Zion, every rock stay on another rock. Every rock, they rest on another rock. It rests upon Zion. Every stone in Zion, they rest upon another stone. No stone is hanging alone. It's resting on another rock. Together. Being knit together. That thing is what Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Is it 11, 12? If you are not like that, you are not receiving the Lord's body. You are not discerning it. That's why you are weak. That is why you are sick. And that is why some people are falling asleep. That's why. Nobody that have found his place and have been knitted together with his brother will ever be weak. But even if you are weak, but as long as your heart is together, the law of holy temple is the law of fervent charity. That should be my desire. The more you walk in love, the more you strengthen the temple. And the more you allow the work of the Lord, I must come to the temple to be more thorough. Every time you don't walk in unfeigned love of the brethren towards your brother, towards sister, you weaken the activity of the Lord in the temple. And the Lord must be in the temple for a period of time. The Lord must be in the period. He must be in the holy temple, which are made up of every that have been knitted together in love for a period of time. It's not coming in. Because why? The Lord, whom you seek, shall sit. So he's not in a rush. He's not strolling into the temple. He's coming to come and sit. He's interested to sit. And that's every man that is part of the holy temple of in the Lord, he will make sure that they are in peace with him and in peace with one another. Follow peace with all men. And holiness. We talk with no man, God, shall I see the Lord? You won't see the Lord. If you are not in peace with one another, you are not part of them.
Take away your horn. Oh, for to take part. For to take part. For to take part in that which I am doing. Even for to take part in that which I am raising. Oh, for every man we say no more of his horn. We say no more of his horn, but we look into the things of the other. Oh, a joining, a framing together. A framing together. Oh, mia to kalamate atuna ga. Tangle you indeed. Tangle you indeed. Take away your own thing and look into the things of the order. Look into the things of the order. It's the order of the day. It's the order of the day. It's the order of the time. It's the order of the process of raising them. Them that shall see me. Them that shall receive me. Them in whose midst I will be found, said the Spirit of God.
So, you can say you are seeking the Lord. If you seek, you shall find him. If you seek with all your heart. If there's anything in part of your heart that is not yet with the brethren, that's it. It's called unfeigned love of the brethren. It's with the brethren. This is the message. It's with the brethren. That's why when you see commandment, I say rejoice with them that rejoice. More with them that more. With the brethren. With the brethren. Unfeigned love of the brethren. That is what met us together to become an holy temple. If you don't have, you are not part. If the number of them that have arrived at that point in a local assembly of 5,000, 3,000 people are just five. Those are the holy temple in the Lord. When the Son of God comes, those are the people that received him in the midst of all their brethren. It's not the church that received him. It's those people, because those are the ones that he has succeeded to comfort. They are being knitted together in love. They are the one. It's not the remaining 4,500. It's the 500. That are keeping the commandment of unfeigned love in a pure heart. They are the one. Out of the 5,000 people, they are the one that are the only temple in the Lord. Because it is in keeping the unfeigned love that they melt your heart like a candle is melting. To take your place in the holy temple. To capacitate the Lord. So when that temple has been brought together, then the Lord will come. The Lord will not come to individual. The Lord will come to art. So he gave me that Ephesians again. That Ephesians 3 that we are reading. It is in that state that they are rooted. And grounded in love. So it's in that place that Christ is dwelling. What is Christ? The life and the nature of Christ is. Because what the Lord will come into The Lord will come into where Christ's nature has formed. Which Paul was saying, oh, my little children, will I travel again in birth until Christ be formed. What is Christ being formed? An only temple being formed. Christ being formed, an only temple being formed. An only temple that can receive the Lord being formed. So when an only temple be formed in the midst of 500 congregation, each time one person fulfill the end of the commandments, they will meet him to the remnant. So they become 501. So they will come into different seasons as the pastor is preaching. And people are doing commandment of charity on faith love. There's no reservations. They are dealing with things that will not make them to have unfair law. Prefer their brother, their brethren. They will keep dealing with those things. Then the person doing that is called the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth is shedding truth. You are prefer yourself in obeying the truth. Unto unfair love of the brethren. Unto. It's an attainment. Unto. When you prefer your soul by the truth, you are coming unto it. They give you that encounter and you do it. They start blending you. You don't, until from 500, you may, after 3 months, they see Buddha also do that. They did the labor. He called it the labor of love. Hebrews 6. God will not forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown to you towards his name. They met them up together. Keep meeting them. But you have to know, when they are meeting them together, the people that are previously ahead of them, when the Lord came to them, the Lord sits and starts carrying work on them. They is not waiting because some people are coming. It's not waiting. It's like, what I mean? It's like there are inner nucleus. Those set of people, they call it the nucleus. They are the inner nucleus. But there are other outward share. They are adding them to be part of that temple. So the work I is doing, the first thing that is those inner nucleus. He will start working on them and be giving them another commandment. That commandment is that he ignites himself as an oval. Or as what? As a refiner and purifier of silver, so that he can make them precious. What he does there is that he will give them another commandment. See, I prefer your soul into unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart. Being born again. So it's when you are loving one another with a pure heart, being born again, comma. That was being born again is to produce. When I do that, is to produce newborn babe. That born again is not one time. Not be born again. So when you are doing family, being born again, they want to born them. When they born them, they will born them as a newborn babe. But it's a season. So it is when the Lord, the Son of God, in the midst of this sanctuary, in the midst of those things, it will be a work. When the ground says that thing, they are being born again, is they are refining them into what? Refining them as silver and gold. That's it. When it's going to happen, there will be some people that will come out as silver, but a better silver than former silver they were. But someone that will come out as gold. What people that will come out to gold? Those who have arrived at that place earlier and are cooperate with the working, they will come out as gold first. Gold that can enter, that it can be newborn babe, that can enter into Amiebu, Adai Tabanaku, O God, or those that can ascend to the Father. Ascend to the Father is going further. You see that oppression of Father, us, and chariot of salvation. Everybody that will enter the tabernacle of God must enter with right. You can enter the tabernacle without ride. You must ride on us and chariot of salvation. You ride prosperously. Because the Father is salvation. Which is the means of the Father. My Father, my Father. It's two times. My Father, my Father. My Father, my Father. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. So horse and chariot of salvation is Father, Father. You, the spirit of the Son, you will cry, Abba, Father. Then they send the spirit of the Son to your soul. So it is those that the Lord comes as the Lord of hosts. Because the Lord, when he comes, he will ignite himself. Which Solomon said, the love is like a vehement heat. It's hotter than the heat of jealousy. That means you when you say that you love another fervently, but this fervently If there's no pure heart there, you'll be jealousy. Normally, this the thing that is inside of you, when you compare it, that pure heart, opposite of it is jealousy. You know, sister, you know when there's a brother that is your friend, you feel that this brother now my own. And suddenly, a sister just begins to, because you are in the church, I've taught you, love one another. Make sure you clean, make sure you are, but you feel that this is the one. This one to come. And suddenly, another sister is dancing around. And he sees that the direction of it has come. That he sees another thing. And you see that thing, that jealousy. That thing is a love. But it's a strange love. It's a strange love. It's a strange fire. You don't bring such a thing into the holy temple. The two sons of Aaron did it and they died. So, in this junction, when the Lord is in the temple, the Lord ignites himself. The Lord wants everybody to move into a holy jealousy. But holy jealousy is, a word, is with what? Pure. You start loving your brother. You see, look at me. If you have not loved your brother and your sibling, feel jealous. You have not loved. One sign that you feel that you have loved brethren, your sibling will become uncomfortable. And every kind of Christian that don't understand ordinances of fervent law with a pure heart be uncomfortable. Because you must put them to jealousy. See that you love one another with a pure heart. So when the Lord comes to your temple, that's the teaching. It is in loving one another that you are being born again. Without that fervent love with a pure heart, you won't be born again. You just remain in that state that you are. Heaven must show you what must you do to make you to have a vehement heat. Set me as a seal upon thy heart. As a seal upon thy hand. For love is as strong as the heat. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. The cold thereof are coals of fire. I said, when the Lord comes, it's ignites. Like it's a coal, because that's how you, what they use to purify silver is coal of fire, amber color. If you have used local iron before, when there's no Nepa, we use coal. I can remember many times in using coal. That coal has open at the back. That if you are on your school uniform and the ash there come out, you beat your school uniform. Bye bye. Even if it is not burn, you see it with strength. So it's in that call of fire that they string you from a man to become a newborn babe. I'm being born again as a newborn babe. They string you. That call will string you. It will string you as a man in Christ to become a newborn babe. But you can't be a newborn babe if you don't love one another fervently with a pure heart. Fervently. Fervently. That's what the Son of God comes to do in the temple. To love another fervently. So in that season, be ready to bring many people that are not unlivable to you. One of the way, if you are in the season of marriage and you find mercy, because what this love, it's not love by feeling. It's love by commandment. There's nobody that you can love. It's at a level you say, I don't dare. It's a low level. When you move far in God, love grows and God develops. Love grows. Because you say, increasing in love. Love grows. Somebody that you don't love today, by the time they train your soul, if you let that person be on creep, it's on which year. When heaven purify you, why you are seeing which year? Because heaven have not purified you enough. Unbelievers don't know much. They don't have purification. Because of simple, is it Philo and Elio, they come to, how much may man that they purify? They will ignite something. The way the Lord, instead of God, ignites, he will ignite something in you. It's in that thing that you are undergoing, that thing, that love thing will be purifying you. But this purification is a vessel. You become purified and refined. Say refine. Say refine. That's it. When they refine, you become precious. You are pure, but you become precious by refining. Refining of love. Refining of fervent love. He refines you. He so refines you. He refines you and you become finer. He said, in book of Proverbs, he said, shall come out, it's finer. Say finer. In Proverbs, shall come out. Take away the dross on silver and there shall come for the vessel for the finer. That's finer. This blessing is the blessing of the Son of God. Is the blessing of the Son of God. Is the first trimester blessing of the Son of God. A man that have carried the Son of God to the first term. You become a finer. A soul that is finer. But when you see all these souls, they have vessels of them. These are the souls. That they become adopted. That's what that Philippians, Galatians 4 was teaching. Redeem them. So they become, to redeem them that we are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So that adoption of son, to redeem them that we are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son, because you are son. It's when these people are now son that they will send for the spirit of the son to the earth to start crying, Abba Father! What's up, my father? Take us into tabernacle, the court of everlasting God. Take us to the tabernacle. Let us enter the house. Abba Father! Abba Father! Abba Father! Abba Father. So the one at Abba Father, he said, to redeem them under the law. What is making you to say, I just got us, the way she talked is because, my brother, you have not been purified. You need the ministry of purifier and refiner to make you finer. Jesus loved the love Jesus Iscariot, a man that was stealing from the purse. Someone that was stealing from the purse. He loved him. He loved him to the point of death. That even when he came to kiss him, he said, friend, betray me with a kiss. He wanted to still break his heart. But his heart was stone dead. May we never be stone dead. Gospel, this is not a message. This is what the Lord wants to do in us now. Or when I say, this is what the Lord is doing. As many people that are cooperating with the Lord, this is what the Lord is doing. If you are cooperating, if you are not cooperating, you are on your own. Some people are cooperating. If you are not cooperating, you are on your own. Because when they have that number and they prefer them and they become new, you will carry them. They will put the spirit of the Son into them. You will adopt them. These are my and they will send the God will send. Okay, say, Father. I and the children you are giving to me. He will send the spirit of the son to them. I want to begin to cry. Say, bring them. Bring them. He will carry them into the tabernacles. They will enter for the first time. This is they will enter to the first court. Everlasting door will open to them. They will enter the first court. They enter the first mansion. The mansion called the mansion of the living God. And in that mansion, Who is the son of who is the father? In that mansion, he said it's a court with an altar. There's an altar there in that Psalm 84. I'm a brother tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the court of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's the first call. When you enter there, you enter the court. Look at it. Yea. What do you find in that court of the living God? Yea. The sparrow are fine and house. And the swallow a net for herself where she may lay a young. Say a young. Even thy altar, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. So you find the first altar, everlasting altar. And when you enter that court has its altar. Every court has its altar. Every court has its altar. Those altars are where you do your sacrifices. Gather together my saints who are making with me my sacrifice. It's not of your covenant sacrifices. You find altars, altars, everlasting altars. So when you say they move from strength to strength, say strength to strength. When they send the spirit of the son into your heart, they are saying you your false allocation of strength. Give me. Joker say, for out of the mouth of babe and suckling, you have ordained strength. Psalm 8. Look at it. Oh Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has said thy glory above the heavens? He's talking about the earth, where he was. Who has said thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes. So these babes and suckling that have ordained strength because of the enemy, that they might steal their enemy and the avenger. So this newborn babe, what they will give to them out of the mouth. What is the mouth? When they are crying, Abba Father, he has sent the spirit of his son to us. Where we cry, Abba Father, what is the spirit that he sent to the earth? His strength. Out of the mouth of babe, you have ordained strength. He called it strength. This is Old Testament. Or this is the prophetic psalm. It's not Old Testament. The prophetic psalm. When Jokai was refined to what is strength, Jokai called it out of the mouth of babe, you have ordained praise. What is praise? Entrance. That's, these are babies that have strength to take, to open the door, the curtain of Jabba's king into the most holy place. And he said unto them, hear thou what this says. What were they saying? When the guy was entering Jerusalem, people say, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one that cometh in the name of the Lord. And in that Psalm 8, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has said thy glory above the heaven. Out of the mouth of babe and sucker. Nothing can tear the curtain of the first heaven. To enter to the word of glory, the word of presence, the word of tabernacle, the word of the court of the loving God is what the mouth of babes has to us, which is the spirits of the son that is sent into the heart. Because it is not what comes out of a man that defines it, it is what is in a man. So the spirit of the son there are is what they are outing out. So that's a ordained strength. That strength is their what opened that curtain. It's what that cry. Because you will not stop crying in everlasting court. When you get to Romans 8, they cry. We also that are the forceful of the spirit, we groan it and travel it. That word of everlasting life is word of crying and travel. Until when you enter into the womb of the woman, you will also travel in birth. It's the word of traveling. You go to everlasting court with travels. We travel. It's through the hand. You keep traveling as they move you from court to court and until you sit upon the truth. So you see that is the spirit of the son in them. It's a strength. And that spirit of the son is what gives praise. And praise is entrance. Psalm 118, 19. Open to me the gate of righteousness. I will go into them. Can you say? For they go from strength to strength. I will go unto them. Say, I will go unto them. Those are gay. Lit up here, everlasting gate. Be little, everlasting door. This is everlasting. I will go unto them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, unto whom the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee. So, for thou hast heard me. Say, thou hast heard me. When you heard me, what of me? And I become my salvation. So that strength is praise. That there's nothing that can open to you except a man that have received the spirit of the son. And you can't speak of the truth of the son until you have done fervent charity with a pure heart. That's when they will now send the spirit of the son to you. When they are converting you into a newborn baby, you will receive the spirit of the son. The spirit of the son is the blessing of every soul that chose to become newborn baby. To cry. You do your first cry. Every doctor, when the baby is born, will spam the child for his first cry. But you can be a newborn, but you can't cry. So when they start to be, bah! They will send the son to you to cry. When he cry, they say, this baby is ready. He's alive. But when he feels to cry, he says, what is sent to the doctors? So you can, when you are born, they must send his son to you to cry. And that cry is to begin to tear the veil into the tabernacle of the everlasting court for you to enter. This has been the labor for months. God wanted to see what you'll be doing. What should we prepare with? This is where we are. If you have kept tap with the work, this is where we are, Pastor. This is where we are. Everybody's supposed to be doing this thing. We're doing to be unfeigned love of the brethren and fervent love of the brethren. Love that you will do that will make men to be jealous. Men, jealous. Fervent love. Make men to be jealous. Cheat. According as he has chosen us in him. Everyone that have arrived at holy temple in him. And holy temple. In him. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy. And without blame before him. Yeah? In love. Having predestinated us unto our adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. According to what? To the good pleasure of his will. What is that? To the praise. The access into the word of glory. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Not only his grace. It's not the grace of Christ. His grace. The grace of God. Wherein? Want to go? Wherein? He has made us accepted into the beloved. You bring into the word of the beloved. I think every agitation should be quiet by now. Because by the matter of two or three witnesses, it matters. But this is it. So I showed up from the book of Psalm 8. I showed up from Matthew. And I showed up from Ephesians. The three witnesses. David, Jesus, and Apostle Paul. That the order is that adopting you into the beloved is how you access it into the praise, which is entrance. And that praise is righteousness. If you read Isaiah, call that praise, they call it righteousness. Open to me the gate of righteousness. That the righteous nation may enter. So that righteous nation there is a man with praise. A man with praise. A man with the spirit of the Son that is crying. It's, Lord, thank you because you have blessed us tonight. Thank you for mercy, Lord. Thank you because you are causing us to have passion, desire for this thing. Lord, we desire this estate. We desire to cross. We desire to cross. We won't do crossover service without many of us crossing, Lord. You will show us mercy, Lord. Help us, Father. Show us grace, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You will renew our flesh again and bring us again on Sunday, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeo Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.